From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Salmon fishing in Alaska is all over the place, both literally and figuratively. Salmon catches range from terrific in the Bristol Bay, while in other areas, such as Chinook, it's tragic. But salmon are not the only species Alaskans are fishing right now. We have an update on who's catching what, where, and how it's going. Despite some of the hottest temperatures on record, Bristol Bay fishermen still manage to meet harvest goals in that lucrative fishery. But what does the future hold if the temperatures continue to stay high? And speaking of high water and air temperatures, NOAA biologists are finding that some fish species in the Bering Sea appear to be moving northward as ocean temperatures creep up. And finally, Saturday, August 10th is Wild Salmon Day. Woo! Go kiss a salmon to celebrate. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
Alaska's salmon catches range from the terrific to the tragic. Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has details.
The statewide harvest was nearing 105 million salmon. More than half, 53 million, are sockeyes. Of that, 43 million of the reds are from Bristol Bay, the second largest catch there in its history. Most processors have now posted a base price of $1.35 a pound for bay sockeyes, not including nice bonuses for chilling, bleeding, and more. The statewide pink catch so far has just topped 40 million and chums at 10 million. There's still lots of fishing left to go, but the statewide forecast of 213 million salmon from Alaska this year could be a stretch. The biggest bust again is at Chinook. Next worst is Southeast Alaska, with a dismal catch of just over 7 million salmon. Southeast trollers get another shot at 25,000 Treaty Chinook salmon starting August 13th in a fishery that's likely to last just 2 to 4 days. Southeast's Dungeness crab fishery is ongoing, with the catch nearing 3.4 million pounds. A smaller Dungy fishery continues around Kodiak. A Red King crab fishery is still underway at Norton Sound, and Golden King crab is ongoing in the Bering Sea. Alaska longliners have landed 57% of their nearly 18 million pound halibut catch limit. As always, fishing continues for whitefish in the Bering Sea and Gulf of Alaska.
That was Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
As we have reported in weeks past, warmer water temperatures are affecting salmon. But despite some of the hottest air and water temperatures on record, Bristol Bay has met this year's sockeye escapement goals, and most districts had an above-forecast catch. But as the years trend warmer, what could happen to the salmon? KDLG's Sage Miller looked at the long-term effects of warmer lakes and oceans for salmon in the Bristol Bay.
For all the worry and speculation about heat affecting sockeye runs on the east side of Bristol Bay this summer, every district has met or exceeded expectations. As the years get hotter and the water temperature trends continue to rise from decade to decade, is there a point at which we might legitimately need to worry about the effect of a warming world on salmon? First, a caveat.
When you try and predict what's going to happen in an ecosystem, things just get complicated.
That's Jerry Bartholomew, director of the Aquatic Animal Health Laboratory at Oregon State University. Trying to peer into the future of Bristol Bay salmon is a bit of a shot in the dark. Without actual data, it's a lot of guesswork. Still, there are three pressing questions when it comes to salmon in warmer waters. First, how temperature affects fish, both in the short and long term.
temperature has a sort of a nonlinear effect on salmon at all stages of the life cycle.
That's Daniel Schindler, a professor in the University of Washington School of Aquatic and Fisheries Sciences and a principal investigator for their Alaska salmon program. He says that warmer water temperatures have actually increased survival rates among salmon.
Yeah, one observation that has become very clear is that because juvenile salmon are growing faster in fresh water, they're actually spending less time in the lakes before they migrate to the ocean.
Schindler says the record-breaking runs of the past few years are likely due to the fact that warmer water has increased the survival rates of salmon smolt because warm water increases food supplies for the young salmon. Second, studies conducted in the United Kingdom have found that fish parasites can grow up to 4 times as quickly in warmer waters. But Schindler says at this point, research just doesn't show that steadily warming waters have ballooned the parasite populations in Bristol Bay. He says that might be because the runs in the bay are shorter, so there's less time for parasites to grow. Finally, fish diseases can be very temperature dependent. Oregon State University's Jerry Bartholomew says there is a correlation between warm conditions and more diseases.
So if the temperatures are warm enough that the fish are going to migrate to a certain area and then congregate, that has potential to increase disease risk because you have fish massing within an area. And if you have pathogens that are transmitted from one fish to another, that increases that potential.
With that said,
you know, I certainly wouldn't say that every time you see a temperature increase, you have a disease outbreak.
There are a multitude of factors that can affect the spread of fish disease, and each of those factors is slightly different in each different watershed and river system. Salmon diseases can be more deadly in changing aquatic environments, but so far that hasn't been the case in Bristol Bay. Again, Schindler.
Yeah, it's really clear from the data collected the last 50 to 70 years that the recent warming trend has translated into increased salmon abundance. Of course, the concern is where do you tip off the other side and do waters become too warm for salmon and their abundance starts to decline? We have not yet seen that even in these last few very warm years that have been observed in Bristol Bay.
In his estimation, only time will tell what's too hot for the salmon. For the time being, scientists are reticent to say too much about what might happen if things get hotter. They know that when things get too hot for salmon, in the upper 70s Fahrenheit, they start to physiologically break down. But Bristol Bay hasn't reached that point yet. In the past decades, salmon have come back even stronger, even in warmer waters. Just as fisheries around Alaska are still discovering the effects of the unusual warming event in 2014 in the Pacific, also known as the Blob, Bristol Bay may not see the effects of this abnormally warm summer for years to come. It's up in the air, or rather, down in the water. In Naknek, I'm Sage Smiley.
While Sage is reporting from Naknek, she's actually working with KDLG out of Dillingham.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Shifting now from Bristol Bay to the southeastern Bering Sea. Scientists from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration have been trawling the southeastern Bering area for the last 2 months as they try to track the overall health of the ocean ecosystem. The NOAA team is finding that some fish species seem to be traveling north to keep ahead of the warmer seawater temperatures. KNOM's Davis Hovey reports.
2010 has become a benchmark for some scientists studying the Bering Sea. They say the last few years have shown hardly any resemblance to what was considered an average season at the beginning of the decade. For example, when looking at water in some areas around St. Lawrence Island, from 2010 to 2017, the bottom temperature went up by 8 degrees Celsius.
That was water that before was near freezing on bottom. Now it's in the 40s. The crabs and whatnot, they went from needing an overcoat to wearing t-shirts.
That was Lyle Britt, the recently appointed supervisor for NOAA Fisheries' Bering Sea Bottom Trawl Survey. He and his research team study the overall health of the Bering Sea ecosystem while assessing groundfish in the area. Within the last couple years, warming waters in the Bering Sea have eliminated the cold water pool, which Britt says used to be a pervasive feature. According to Britt, only 1% of the eastern Bering Sea shelf had a cold pool last year, but otherwise, it did not exist. Once the cold water barrier started breaking apart in 2017, Britt says large populations of Pacific cod and pollock, for unknown reasons, busted through into northern waters.
To the account of a 900% increase in the overall biomass of Pacific cod. So when I say biomass, essentially what I mean is we take all of our samples and the weight of all those samples, and we essentially integrate it out to where we get an estimate of what we think the total weight of that species would be throughout that entire region.
For walleye pollock, Britt says the biomass estimate was under 20,000 metric tons in 2010, but then jumped up to 1.3 million tons in 2017. Despite these sizable increases, there are a couple of species that appear to be decreasing in numbers throughout the northern Bering Sea. Britt says one of them, Arctic cod, tend to favor colder waters.
In 2018, that number dropped to 11 metric tons. That 11 metric tons is what you get when you expand a catch of 7 fish total for the entire region. So that's one of the primary prey bases, as everyone knows, in this region, for everything from some of the seabirds to the marine mammals to even the larger fishes.
Britt and his NOAA fisheries team just completed a bottom trawl survey in the southern Bering Sea. Now they move on to the northern Bering and plan to be done in September. After that time, NOAA Fisheries will team up with Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation, NSCDC, and Fishers in Savunga to do a special Pacific cod tagging study. Britt says he's very excited for this unique collaborative research project.
In fact, Jeff and I last fall made a trip out to the village where we actually presented our results from last year, and that's where a lot of this got started, where they expressed an interest in wanting to participate in helping to understand what's going on in their ecosystem. And in part because they actually do have a small CDQ longline fishery that provided a platform where we could actually get some nearshore data, which we can't get from our large vessels.
Britt hopes this model will lead to more collaboration between local communities and NOAA fisheries as they track what he refers to as unprecedented change in the Bering Sea. Britt expects the final results from the Northern Bering Sea Trawl Survey won't be ready and available to the public until November. Reporting in Nome, I'm Davis Hovey.
Before we finish up this week's program, I would like to wish all you salmon fishermen a very happy Alaska Wild Salmon Day. According to the Alaska Wild Salmon website, the day is set aside to share our Alaskan way of life and the importance of wild salmon with the rest of the world. It says nearly every Alaskan is impacted by salmon in some way, whether through subsistence, recreational, or commercial fishing, or just sheer appreciation for Alaska's abundant wildlife. So hats off to everyone who works in the Alaska salmon industry. August 10th is Alaska Wild Salmon Day.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Sage Smiley with KDLG in Dillingham, David Hubby at KNOM in Nome, and Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio. Good luck fishing, everyone, and be safe. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.